Welcome to the Missions Podcast, the show that explores your hard questions on the world, theology, and missionary practice to help goers think and thinkers go. I'm your host today, Scott Dunford, the pastor of Western Hills Church in San Mateo, California. And you will notice that I am flying solo today. My illustrious co-host, Alex, and I have decided to divide and conquer today because we had multiple things going on today. But I am not alone today. And in addition to Brian, our illustrious producer, who you usually don't see unless you are subscribed to the overtime episodes, we have a pastor and a missionary that I am really thrilled to be able to introduce you today. Prodeep Das is a Bangladeshi native, came from Bangladesh, a country that's very special in the ABWE world. Guys like me, growing up, read books like Doctar, which tell the story of a missionary doctor from ABWE in the very, very earliest days of the founding of the country of Bangladesh. And so my interest has always been tuned into what's going on in that nation. And yet we have someone here who was saved and has now led as a pastor and missionary. And so, Pradeep, welcome to our show. We are so glad to have you today.
Thank you for inviting me to join this wonderful event. I'm so glad to have you.
And I just want to let our listeners know, if you stay on extra for the overtime episode, we have a very special interview with a pretty recent convert who came to Christ out of Islam, a Bangladeshi convert who is part of Pastor Pradeep's church. And so please stay tuned for that overtime episode. We're going to get to hear his testimony and I think go a little bit deeper in some of the things we're going to be talking about today. There's nearly 300,000 Bengali people in New York City, if I'm right about that, Pastor, and close to 300 million Bengali speakers in the world. In Bangladesh, though, out of all the people of Bangladesh, one of the largest countries in the world, 0.3% Christian. So for every 1,000 Bengali or Bangladeshi people, there's only 3 believers. So out of all those people, you're one of the 0.3 percent. Tell us the story of how you came to know Christ.
Actually, I born and raised up in Bangladesh. My family, I grew up in a Christian family in Bangladesh. My forefather, he accepted Jesus as his Savior and Lord maybe 2-3 generations ago. So my family continue keep this Christian faith in Bangladesh, and I was born in this Christian family. And when I was in age of 17, I accepted Jesus as my Savior and Lord through my local church. My dad helped me to understand the Word of God. And also, one of the day it was 1991, June, second week of June. One of the pastor is coming to speak in my church, local church. Then I heard the Word of God from him, and I understand that this is, although I born in Christian family, but I need to get saved. I need to have the personal relationship with Jesus because I am a sinner. That's why I kneel down to Lord Jesus personally, and I ask my forgive my sin, and through prayer I got the response that Lord Jesus, hear my prayer for forgiveness my sin. Then I feel comfort and I accept Jesus as my Savior and Lord. Then later I baptize in one of the churches, one of my local churches. One of the pastor baptized me later. Then I am from then, it's 1991. From then I continue my Christian faith still now. That's the my salvation testimony.
That's beautiful. Do you know any of the history? Because I know that, you know, the Bangladesh was once part of India. We know about William Carey and the missionaries that followed him that went into the whole Bengali region. Do you know anything about the history of how your family ended up coming to Christ generations ago?
Yes. I think it's my father, my father, great grandfather. He come to faith from Hindu faith. When he was accepted Jesus, he only one man accept Jesus in this village. Nobody is know that Jesus.
Wow.
And he's the only one man accept Jesus. And I heard the story from my dad. The people are persecuted him like this. When he go out from the house, and people make fence around his house so that he can enter in the house this way. They ignore him. A lot of things happen. But he's faithfully stayed there a long time. This village, only one Christian family in this village until my father generation.
Hmm.
And one of the churches is the church he accepted by Christian faith through church he accepted Christian faith through the church is my district. This is the church, it's called Udakandi Baptist Church. This church actually established in 1907.
Wow.
1906, one of the missionary from Australia. His name is Dr. C.S. Mead. He came from Australia to our place. It was before 1947. Then is the British colony of Bangladesh. So he established the church in my village, and someone from the church preached the gospel, and my forefather accepted Jesus as the Savior and Lord.
Wow.
That's the thing, history.
See, that's the thing that I think missionaries need to be encouraged by, is that,
right,
you know, we don't know what the end result is going to be. You know, here's one guy coming to Christ years and years ago, and out of this, a whole ministry is born. And it's a good reminder that it takes time to see the church grow.
Yeah.
So I want to just give our people a little bit of more understanding about Bangladesh and uniqueness of Bangladesh. So there's about 2 billion Muslims in the world. I think it makes up like 25% of the whole world's population. Most people tend to think of Islam as they think of, you know, Saudi Arabia and the Arabic states. And yet most Muslims live in Asia, South Asia and Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Bangladesh is something like, from what I read online, 91% Muslim and maybe like 8% Hindu. And yet even your name, you know, from what I was able to just read online, Das, you know, is kind of like a background of Sanskrit, right? And so a little more Hindu influence there. So what makes Islam in Bangladesh unique? Because it's such an interesting place of when Islam came, the mixture of Hinduism and in Islam and other things that are going on amongst the tribal peoples of Bangladesh. Are there anything that makes Islam in Bangladesh unique as compared to some of the Arabic nations that we might think of when we think of Islam?
Yes, that's the in Bangladesh, I said that this subcontinent, Islam is came is around 1200 AD. Before that, mostly the Hindu people, Hindu dominated region. So. Mm. But first is the one of the king of from it's called the Middle East. Some of the king come to and the conquered this our region. From then is Islam is marched this region, especially Pakistan and Bangladesh. Bangladesh, when Bangladesh got the independence in 1947 from the British colony, then actually this region then is three state is born from this 1947. Is actually two state is Pakistan and India. Mm-hmm. Is this dividation come through the religious base, like the those who are majority of Hindu, they are India, and those who are majority of Muslim, they are in Pakistan. Then Bangladesh fall in Pakistan as a East Pakistan,
even though they're divided by quite a bit of many miles between the two countries.
Yeah, right. It's many miles. It's a lot of distance. In the middle, there is India. The West Pakistan, yeah. East Pakistan, in the middle, there is India. And also the difference is the language and culture is different from the West Pakistan, East Pakistan. We are the East Pakistan. We speak Bangla. They speak Urdu and other Punjab like this. But this difference is ultimately 1971 is happened the liberation war with the West Pakistan in East Pakistan, then is born the Bangladesh. So Bangladesh is probably the Sunni Muslim, majority of the Sunni Muslim. Mm. There is a Muslim group, another is a Shia Muslim, but mm-hmm. in Bangladesh is the majority, mostly is maybe 1-2% is the Shia Muslim. That's the one of the unique thing in Muslim there. And also in Bangladesh, the Muslim are very, I say like this, very, very devoted their faith. Mm. And some of them are very fundamental, radical, their faith. Mm-hmm. They hate other religions so much, but in is not the majority of people. Majority people are radical. The majority people, majority Muslim are the in general. They are not the very radical. They are accepted to other faith also like this.
So I saw one of your testimony that you had online. People can search your name online and see some pretty cool videos about your work and your ministry. But you talk a little bit about what it was like being a Christian in Bangladesh and just the experience of being in the church in Bangladesh. Can you just kind of walk our listeners through that? What's it like being a minority Christian in a predominantly Muslim country like Bangladesh?
Yes, it's the good questions. I say like this. In Bangladesh, as a minority Christian, we I like this. We have the grew up with a Muslim environment always. Mm. Our around our home, around our job place, around our culture is Muslim dominated. So we grew up this Muslim community. We have the friend, we have the colleague, all of them are, majority of them are Muslim. And we are neighborhood, they are also Muslim. So what happened? We are, if I say that, as a citizen of Bangladesh, I was, my family, our some limitation we have, we are not fully exercise our right in Bangladesh, if I say like this. Yes, sometimes we are persecuted. But not everybody do that. Not every Muslim do that. Some Muslim are good. They are very good friend with us. That's why we are some way we can survive there. We can survive. And I tell you one story. We have that in Dhaka city. When I live in Dhaka city, there is my church there. I study in Dhaka city. I did my job there. Then I live Dhaka city. There is a church building. around the church building, there is a Muslim neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So the 4-5 years, me and my family, there is a church building. We have the sanctuary. Also, we have the resident in the same building as a church building. So I live there with my family. And what happened, the neighbor Muslim family, they every day, they throwing their garbage or trash, the kitchen or like this trash, they're throwing the church building roof. Every day. And my wife clean this every day. So we are several times I tell them, please not to do that. And again, we do that. One time they are angry. Yeah, they told us that we do that. Whatever you can do, do us. But we are not the bargaining them. We are not the take the action with them, because it's not the good for we if we take the any action, legal action or something we do. Later they increase their harmfulness. They increase to us anyway. That's why
is there government protection for Christians, or is it pretty much they can do whatever they want to do to you?
Officially, yes, they have to protect us. But in practical, no. Because people, government is by law, Bangladesh is secular country. It's not a Muslim country. But in practical reason, no. It's many way we are not the get the justice ultimately. Suppose if I file a case in the police station, those who are in charge there are also Muslim. Ultimately, when saw this is the religious matter, especially the minority Christian,
mm-hmm.
and they are sometimes they are negligent for this. Take the action against their Muslim people, and other side is the Christian or minority people.
So you were born into a Christian family,
right?
And your father was born into a Christian home. Is it right. different for though? I imagine you're treated somewhat differently because you've been a Christian for a couple of generations. Is it different for someone who comes out of Islam and is saved out of Islam directly? Are they treated worse than you were treated?
Yes.
Or is it very similar?
It's different. It's different. I'm going to tell you. We have the some privilege because we are the born in Christian. We are not the persecuted by the as a Christian. But when I demand my citizenship or as a citizen, when I demand my citizen right as an individual, right, then is conflict come. But someone from converted from Muslim, then the persecution happened like the why he take the Christian faith. And right. this is the very severe actually happened to them. So I tell the in USA, the name I mentioned, the Paul Martin Movie. In the USA, he except in the USA, in the New York. After I teaching him and he accepted Jesus, then his parents also live in Jamaica and New York City. When his parents heard this, that my son is learn Bible, then he called me. He called me, why you teach my son Bible? Then he requests me to, yes, you can teach him, but not if he accept your religion, then not to allow him. Then I don't know. No, I as a pastor, as a missionary, someone willingly come to my accept my days, then I need to encourage them and do something. Mm-hmm. For them. Then I baptize him. Then after baptism, I evening time, I drop off him in his house in Jamaica. Then after the math, his parents hold his throat like this, and almost he's die like this. Later he told share us. And that night, his parents kick out him from his house. Then a few days later, his parents come to, invite him to come to home, but he stay home, but no food for him. And he earn everything they take out. Later, after month, Paul told me the situation like this. Then I told him, we can arrange for you one of my believer house, you can stay there. Then he leave his parents' house and leave my one of my Christian family, he live there. Does that happen here in Bangladesh? Yeah. This is a very severe thing.
We had something similar here happen to us here in America. We had a young lady who was very interested in the gospel. Her family found out about it. This was during COVID. They all show up at my house. Very kind, but also the whole family's in my house. And very gently said, "Please do not share the gospel with our daughter." Well, I mean, it was out of my control. She was being witnessed to by others, and but it was severe for her. She ended up, in her home, was kind of put almost as a prisoner in her own home, cut off from all contact for weeks. Eventually, and this is just the strangest story, they were forcing her to meet with an imam to re-educate her in Islam. And eventually, this imam called her dad and said, "You need to stop treating her like a Muslim and start treating her like a Christian." And which I don't know how that happened. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. But she ended up going to a Christian college, and I ended up being able to baptize her a couple years ago and is walking faithfully with Jesus. But it's amazing, those stories. I know we're running out of time, so I just want to kind of fast forward a little bit. You ended up coming to America for theological training and then being involved in church planting and equipping and reaching Bangladeshi people here in the States and around the world. So can you tell us a little bit more about your ministry in New York City, as well as what you're doing around the world in the time we have left?
My job is the New York City. We have the evangelize the gospel among the Bangladeshi people. My focus is the Bangladeshi people in New York City. So that we reach out them through the outreach and also personal evangelism. We have the contact some. We reach out them some family here. We also already have the friendship. We have the some communication, and some of them also accepted. I baptized here in New York City three men and one lady. They are from Muslim.
There's Amen.
The, and also we have the, now I have the connection, it's maybe 10 family. I have the regular connection for the preach the gospel. And every month, two time we do the outreach in New York City, different places with my church family. And evangelized planting church. I planted church in New York City. Two church I planted in New York City. And another one is the Michigan Holland. These are three churches planted in New York, in USA. And we also, I have the ministry in Bangladesh through Zoom virtual meeting. Every Wednesday, I preach this Zoom Wednesday. There is at least 60 to 70 people join this. They are Hindu, Muslim, Christian, both all. And this last September, the 14th, Hindu and Muslim people, they accepted Jesus through my preaching in Zoom. And wow. last visit in this year, February, I last visit, I went in Bangladesh and I opened a new church in Dhaka City. That's the thing we are doing. God called us to share the gospel among Bangladeshi Muslim. And this is the thing we do.
Did you know that it can take anywhere from 18 to 24 months or more for the average missionary to raise their financial support? The journey to the field is an arduous one, and for some missionaries, it goes by quicker than others. Other missionaries are waiting for the right prayer and financial partners to come alongside them and hold the rope for them as they go out to reach the lost. And so, would you consider praying for and maybe adopting an ABWE pre-field missionary, somebody that's already been commissioned and sent out from their local church, and the only thing keeping them from having a fruitful ministry on the field is simply their ability to get there? You can go to abwe.org/prefield and find a pre-field missionary, whether you just want to pray for them or whether the Lord would lead you to give to one of their ministries. Find one that you can support today at abwe.org/prefield.
This is beautiful, and I hope it's encouraging to people. I know we hear a lot about Islam on the news. There's a lot of concerns about people that are in this country that have come here either illegally or that, you know, they don't assimilate here. But there's also an opportunity, and the opportunity is to share the gospel with those who are here. And it's exciting to see the work that God's allowed you to do, growing up in a Christian home in a Muslim context, and now reaching Bangladeshi Muslims and others here in the United States, and planting churches here and doing training around the world. I think it's recently that you've joined ABWE officially as a missionary. How can people get in touch with you? How can people support you and your ministry?
I got a lot of support here in my church family, church leader and family. Also, I have some partner in around the USA, some churches and individual. I share my testimony, share my ministry with them. There are some of it's maybe four churches partner with us, and also three individual they partner with us. And that way we are getting some support, and the prayer pray for us and support us financially. That way we are moving our ministry in here in Bangladesh too. That's the thing. Yeah, I got the Lord bless us for this partnership.
That's amazing. So if you want to find out more, you can go to ABWE's website, abwe.org, and you can just search in Prodeep Das, and you'll see his name on the show notes, and you can find out more about their ministry. You can support their ministry if you'd like to support it, or take a trip out to New York City and see it for yourself, and see what God is doing among the nations. Thank you so much for joining us, Pradeep. And for those of you listening, I hope you'll join us for the after show, the overtime episode, as we're going to get to hear a very exciting interview with one of Pradeep's disciples who's recently come to faith out of a Muslim background. And so we're so thankful for you to join us this week's episode. And we hope you tune into the rest. And until next week, go and make disciples. God bless you.